From Pacifico Radio, this is Democracy Now!
Geronimo Pratt, and the World Trade Organization. I just hope that everybody realizes that it was never an issue between black and white. It was always an issue between the rich and the poor.
Today, a listener's century. You talk about what this century has been about. All that and more coming up on Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! Welcome to Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. The hijackers of an Indian Airlines plane dropped their demands today for $200 million and the return of a body of a Kashmiri militant, a possible breakthrough in negotiations aimed at ending a six-day hijacking. This, according to an Indian official. On Tuesday, the hijackers insisted on $200 million, the release of 35 Kashmiri militants and a Pakistani cleric from Indian jails, as well as the body of a militant Kashmiri who was killed 5 years ago. Indian negotiators opened talks with the hijackers late Monday, 4 days into the hijacking, after the hijackers threatened to start killing passengers. Indian officials have said there are five hijackers armed with grenades, pistols, and knives. They seized flight 814, some 40 minutes after it took off from Kathmandu, Nepal, on a scheduled flight to New Delhi on Friday. It made stops in India, Pakistan, and the United Arab Emirates before landing in Afghanistan on Saturday. The plane was carrying 178 passengers and 11 crew members when it took off. UN police in East Timor have discovered human remains in a large site at the village of Pasabe, where local residents say up to 54 bodies could be buried in a mass grave. Until forensic experts examine the site, which measures 330 yards by 550 yards, it won't be known how many bodies are there. Some 230 bodies have been found since international peacekeepers arrived in September to restore order. This news from France. Cleanup workers stepped up efforts today to scrape away thick slabs of gummy oil coating the beaches and rocky shores of France's Atlantic coast as storms that hampered operations for days cleared. Thousands of volunteers, soldiers, and professionals, many wearing oil-splattered yellow overalls and rain boots, scooped up the residue with shovels, pails, and gloved hands as the foul-smelling oil continued to wash ashore. Greenpeace has actively criticized Totalfina, the Franco-Belgian oil group which chartered the tanker that caused the spill. The 24-year-old vessel poured 3 million gallons of oil into the sea when it broke in two and sank on December 12th. It was carrying refined heavy oil from Rotterdam to Leghorn, Italy. Clots of black oil have washed up on a 250-mile stretch of France's Atlantic coast, where workers have found thousands of oil-coated birds. France's Communist Party has called on Totalfina to pay the entire cost of the cleanup. For its part, the Greens Party urged people to boycott Totalfina gas stations. The oil company has said it's not legally responsible for the accident, but says it's prepared to help meet the costs of the cleanup. This news from Angola. International aid agencies in Angola are sounding the alarm and appealing for help to avoid increased humanitarian suffering as the army seizes more territory from rebels in the southern African country. More than 2 million people, or a sixth of the population, have been displaced in the past year of fighting, and the UN estimates that as many as 200 die each day from starvation. The United Nations World Food Program said last week it's seeking $40 million in contributions to buy and deliver food for Angolans displaced over the last quarter century. Angola's government has had the upper hand in fighting since September. It's pushed the rebel UNITA movement, known for its past support by the apartheid regime of South Africa and the U.S. government, headed by Jonas Savimbi, to the far south and east of the diamond and oil-rich country. Speaking of Angola, we go to Angola, Louisiana, the prison there named for the place where slaves were brought, a plantation prison, one of the largest in the country. A guard and a prisoner were killed at Louisiana's maximum security prison during an escape attempt that led to a two-hour standoff. The guard was beaten to death with a hammer when he refused to give up his keys to about six or seven prisoners in a prison classroom last night, this according to the warden. Earlier this month, a days-long hostage standoff at another Louisiana jail ended peacefully when six Cuban detainees released a warden female guard and five female prisoners. They'd been demanding their release and passage out of the country and were held in Cuba following deportation. Those Cuban prisoners had protested the fact that though they had committed no crime, they were being held indefinitely by U.S. authorities. The Vermont Supreme Court decision recognizing gay couples isn't sitting too well with Gary Bauer. The Republican presidential hopeful says the decision is worse than terrorism. The ruling says the state must grant the same protection to gay couples as it does to married couples. Bauer says that, quote, attacks America's deeply held values.
Come gather round, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you'd better start swimming, or you'll sink like a stone, 'cause the times, they are a-changing.
You are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! I'm Amy Goodman. Democracy Now! Went on the air February of 1996. And over this last 3.5 years, it has been a great pleasure to be with you. Maybe it's not even that long. Sometimes it seems like it's been no time at all. But today, it's you who speak back. Today, listeners who've been calling into our comment line over the last weeks share their thoughts about the 20th century and beyond.
Hi, my name's Holly Gwynn Graham. I live in Olympia, Washington, and listen to Democracy Now! On KAOS at the Evergreen State College. I was born in 1946 on the 18th of February. I believe one of the most important things that we've done this century is to unleash nuclear power and to work to try to conquer the problems created by it. And one of the things that most concerns me is that we do not carry the sickness of nuclear power and nuclear weaponry into the new millennium, especially with space stations, which are run by nuclear, and the ballistic missile defense system, which Clinton seems to be going ahead with. I think one of the most important things is that we invented nuclear power, or we discovered it, and now we have to conquer it.
My name is Mark. I listen to KFAI, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota. 30 years old, born 1969. There are a lot of events that are really important. But one that is most important to me, just very important to me, and influential in my political attitude is... I'll have to say the names and then I'll say the event. It's Bobby Sands, Francis Hughes, Raymond McCreesh, Patsy O'Hara, Joe McDonald, Martin Hirson, Kevin Lynch, Kieran Daugherty, Thomas McAwee, and Mickey Devine, who died between May 5, 1981 and August 20, 1981, on hunger strike in Longcash Prison in Ireland. I've heard it said on your show before that the one thing that the 20th century, one thing that evolved out of it is the movement, the anti-colonial movement, the movement to decolonize this world. And I think those 10 men represent that movement very well. And it's very significant to 20th century history. Thank you.
My name is Jennifer Squires. I listen to WBAI. I live in Jamaica, Queens. for me, the people that stand out, I'm of African descent, the people that stand out in this century and that will serve as models for us as black people in the upcoming century, Nelson Mandela and Malcolm X. First, Nelson Mandela, because of his courage, his strength, his stamina, his optimism. He serves as a model for us in the face of really grave injustice.
The people's campaigns, carried out with amazing courage and great sacrifice, have pushed the government to concede the legal space for a widened political participation. We are at a crucial historical juncture. We cannot turn back. We shall not turn back. We are committed to the establishment of a united, non-racial, non-sexist, democratic South Africa.
And Malcolm X, because of his militant ideology, his by any means necessary stance, I think a good example for us for what we need to take us into the 21st century.
We declare our right on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being, in this society, on this earth, in this day, which we intend to bring into existence by any means necessary.
The 1964 edition of Fred and Pomona listens to KPFK in Los Angeles. My mother was segregated in elementary school and punished for speaking Spanish. That was a significant event. I was never segregated in school. Another significant event. But a teacher told me this millennium that all men are created equal and that there began a human revolution that will never end. My male teacher asked, what about women? And a revolution began in my mind that will never end. I remember Rosa Parks. I don't remember the cop who arrested her.
The time had just come when I had been pushed as far as I could stand to be pushed, I suppose. I had decided that I would have to know once and for all what rights I had as a human being and a citizen, even in Montgomery, Alabama.
I'll always remember the demonstrators. I'll forget the brutal un-American police officers in Seattle. Hooray for Jerry Garcia. Hooray for Julia Butterfly Hill. Democracy 2000.
Good morning. I'm Dan from Brooklyn, and I listen to WBAI in New York City. And I was born in 1968. And to me, this has been the century of direct action and proving that citizens can take control and in a peaceful way and make major differences. And, for example, women's suffrage in the United States at the beginning of the century, and in India, they're obtaining freedom from the British Empire, and here in the United States, civil rights for blacks are just some of the three major changes that were brought about by civil action and peaceful means, and the people have the power to control their destiny.
Hi, my name is Teresa Miller. I live in the LA area, and I was born in 1970, and some of the most important events I think of the century are: one, birth control; two, civil rights and Dr. King; and number three, the organization of labor, including Cesar Chavez.
We are important because of the work we do. We are human beings who sweat and sacrifice, brings food to the tables of millions and millions of people across America and around the world.
And four, Roe versus Wade; five, the Vermont case the other day, recognizing the equal civil rights of lesbians and gays to form lifetime unions and hopefully someday marriage; number six, I would say one of the most tragic events of the century was the internment of Japanese Americans during World War II; and number seven, women achieving the right to vote. Number eight, one of the most, another tragic event was HIV and AIDS, the emergence of that, and the development of Israel. And number 10, the anti-war movements and the whole hippie and radical debate during the 1960s that totally changed, I think, the psyche of America. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good morning. This is Pat Logan from New York City, listening to WBAI. I was born in 1949. I heard the list broadcast last Friday morning of the Los Angeles woman's 10 most important events of the 20th century. I decided to compile my own list based on an internationalist rather than a U.S. perspective and dividing the achievements and social experiments from the tragedies and setbacks. The five most positive achievements are, in my estimation, 1, the 1917 Russian Revolution and creation of the Soviet Union, 2, the impact of the two 20th century waves of feminism worldwide and in the U.S., 3, the concept and creation of the United Nations, 4, the achievements of organized labor in the developed countries, and 5, the achievement of political equality by people of color in South Africa. The five most tragic events for me are 1, the Nazi Holocaust in Europe, 2, the twisting and derailment of Soviet socialism by Stalin and company, 3, the long postponement of a chance for revolution in the United States in the 1930s by the temporary assistance offered to the working class by the New Deal, 4, the murder of Dr. King and subsequent failure of a mass civil rights movement to address straight on issues of economic injustice, and 5, the coup in Chile, which destroyed a democratic socialist state that would have been a second role model, in addition to Cuba, for Latin American, Caribbean, and other poor countries worldwide. Thank you.
In the last 100 years, the period has also the most dubious distinction of being the most murderous century in all of mankind's history. 110 million people have been killed in wars alone during this time. Roughly one-tenth of all the existing inhabitants of the world at the time, and more than in all wars combined from all previous historical time periods.
Colleen Novoselsky, Rutherford, New Jersey. I was born in 1945, and I listened to WBAI in New York. My hopes for the next century would be the coalition that came together in Seattle. I would like to express my gratitude to all the thousands of college students, environmentalists, union members, teachers, students, grandparents, and children, everyone concerned with the quality of life on this planet, who braved the cold, the rain, the pepper spray, the rubber bullets, and the clubbing from the Seattle police to protest the World Trade Organization meeting. The protesters represented the millions of us who couldn't attend but still hope to secure trade policies that do not roll back worker and environmental protections.
Marvin Bornstein, 70 years old, born December 27th, 1929. Growing up, I had only one hero. There were many people that influenced my life, and I heard many people articulate their views of a better world. But the only person that I saw in action and followed closely was Paul Robeson. I was at both Peak Skill concerts. I was at the huge AME Zion concert in Bedford-Stuyvesant, living nearby, when he was banned from the concert stage. And I was a neighbor of his in Washington Heights and used to see his Landa and Paul often sitting down by the stoop in Jamel Place.
I saw Joe Hill last night, alive as you and me. Says I, but Joe, you're 10 years dead. I never died, says he. I never died, says he. The copper bosses killed you, Joe. They shot you, Joe, says I. takes more than guns to kill a man. Says Joe, I didn't die. Says Joe, I didn't die. And standing there as big as life and smiling with his eyes, says Joe, what they forgot to kill went on to organize, went on to organize. From San Diego up to Maine, in every mine and mill, where working men defend their rights, it's there you'll find Joe Hill. It's there you'll find Joe Hill.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now! We'll be back in a minute.
Kneel away, no caution.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, a listener's century. And this is what we're devoting the whole show to today.
Events, but the most important two things are to me are the media takeover, or the corporations taking over the media. Democracy Now! Is the only show that I am aware of that is really out front and honest. The media, you cannot write to the media, to the newspapers, about anything such as cargo here in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's not allowed if you say certain things that are too real. This corporation's takeover of the media is a real slam against all democracy and all human rights. Another important thing is a 700% increase in homeless children since 1985.
Hi, Amy. My name is Bumani. I live in New York. In the year I was born, it's 52. And I was in the WBAI. Mumia Abu-Jamal, Leonard Peltier, Geronimo Pratt, and the World Trade Organization. I just hope that everybody realizes that it was never an issue between black and white. It was always an issue between the rich and the poor. And as long as we have organizations like WTO, we are in for a long haul for the 21st century. Peace, and have a blessed holiday.
Hi, this is Erica Thorne, me and my partner Liz Tufte, who live in Minneapolis and who listen on our wonderful KFAI radio station. Thank you, Amy, for all the help that you've given our station over these last years since you came several years ago. I was born in 1954. She was born in 1956. Okay, so first would be the rise of nonviolent protest and direct action as a way of affecting policy and affecting change in government and society. So the the independence movement of India, the U.S. civil rights movement, and the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender movements would be important examples of that. Next would be the rise of women's rights and our cultural standing globally. And manifestations of this would include birth control, feminism, and the women's right to vote in the United States and in many countries. And then the communications and computer technology, specifically, of course, phone, radio, television, internet, and the way that those have speeded up many of the other categories and things that we're talking about here, and how they changed the way we think, similar to how the Industrial Revolution changed the way people organized their concept of life and society in the 19th century. And then finally, in this first four, the failure of leadership to respond to the awesome power which technology released, respond in a positive and life-building way. What we needed from leadership in this century was a paradigm shift from the power-grabbing or power-accumulating model that we've had since patriarchy. But what we got is the same paradigm intensified and accelerated by technology. Obviously, Hitler and Stalin and Franco are the obvious examples of this, but different in degree, but not in this area, different in kind, would be George Bush and William Clinton, for instance.
The name is Mel Wright. I was born July 27th, 1942. I think some of the most incredible things that happened this century was one was the Million Man March, two, the assassination of Dr. King and John Kennedy, men going to the moon, and the Vietnam War, which I was there. And there's just so many things that happened, but I think just being alive to see Jimi Hendrix.
You're listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!'s A Listener's Century.
And African Communities League of the World. You may ask, what organization is that? It is for me to inform you that the Universal Negro Improvement Association is an organization that seeks to unite into one solid body the 400 million Negroes of the world, to link up the 15 million Negroes of the United States of America with the 20 million Negroes of the West Indies, the 40 million Negroes of South and Central America with the 280 million Negroes of Africa, for the purpose of bettering our industrial, commercial, educational, social, and political conditions. As you are aware, the world in which we live today is divided into separate race groups and distinct nationalities. Each race and each nationality is endeavoring to work out its own destiny to the exclusion of other races and other nationalities. We hear the cry of England for the Englishman, of France for the Frenchman, of Germany for the German, of Ireland for the Irish, of Palestine for the Jew, of Japan for the Japanese, of China for the Chinese, We of the Universal Negro Poet Association are raising the cry of Africa for the Africans, those at home and those abroad.
If the black people in the Western Hemisphere had followed Malcolm Garvey's principle, we wouldn't be having the Diallo incident and all these other negative things perpetrated against the black community as it is today, because we would have been economically self-sufficient. We have to own our own television station. We have to own our own radio station. Have to. That's the only way you can own a neighborhood. Thanks.
Hi, Amy Goodman. Thanks very much for doing this. My name is Joyce Smith. I'm Joyce Smith. I'm calling from KXCI out here in Tucson, Arizona. I was born in 1942, and I think that the women who have advanced women's rights are the most important people of our millennium, because that is the most revolutionary, has the most potential for a revolutionary benefit for all of society. And so I can only start with the women of 1848, Lucretia Mott, especially Elizabeth Cady Stanton, number one, and Sojourner Truth, and then, of course, Susan B. Anthony, and then Alice Paul, who was just an amazing martyr who actually won us the right to vote, the second sex, Simone de Beauvoir, and, of course, Gloria Steinem. I'm really sorry that I'm leaving out some important names. I'd really like to include the women of the Haudenosaunee, the Iroquois women who were an inspiration to the early feminists. We don't really know enough in our culture about the contributions of the women who had government in their power.
Hello, my name is Craig Hill. I listen to Democracy Now! And other Pacifica programs over WGDR Plainfield, Vermont, where I'm a programmer. The stories, two stories that I would give the most importance occurring this century are, one, that we are undergoing the greatest mass extinction of species since the end of the dinosaurs 65 million years ago, and we are the species that has caused it. I cannot believe that in 1,000 or 10,000 years, if there are any people looking back at our times, that any other story will be considered as important as that one. Secondarily, one that I have not heard of talked about at all as an important event is that at the tail end of the 20th century, we have finally seen a very sad episode concluded, I think, the subsummation or the overtaking of the East by the West. We're headed for a one-world culture, and it's a Western one.
My name is Tom Clymer. I listen to Democracy Now! On KKFI Kansas City. I was born in 1952. I'd like to hope the Battle in Seattle will be looked on as a major event of the 20th century, but we won't know, and its effect won't be felt if it is until the 21st. My pick for the major event that transformed the whole world in the 20th century happened late in the 19th, and I think that was the key to turning capitalists into corporate welfare chief. And that event is the 1886 U.S. Supreme Court decision, Santa Clara County versus Southern Pacific Railroad, where they ruled that a private corporation is a person under the Constitution, giving them all the rights and privileges but none of the responsibilities and liabilities that go along with that kind of citizenship. In a kind of sick irony, I guess this was tied to the 14th Amendment. And now the largest multinationals have finances dwarfing most of the countries of the world, and U.S. corporations have corrupted everything from our schools to foreign policy to world trade. I don't think you have to look very hard to see the tracks of this decision in some way, helping corporations worsen virtually every war, environmental disaster, or other crisis of the century. Shareholder primacy, uber alles. Merry Christmas.
My name is Richard, Los Angeles, KPFK 56. My second choice for person of the century would have been Einstein. He was anti-draft, and he thought that a young man could be convinced by 2 weeks of media saturation to go to another country and kill strangers without really understanding why. And Albert had a unique view on overpopulation. He calculated that everybody on Earth became a vegan, then tens of billions of people could live here.
It is intelligence, which is the ability to learn from experience, to plan ahead. It includes the capacity to give up immediate temporary benefits for permanent ones. This part of human nature recognizes that a man's security and happiness depend on working society, that working society depends on law, and that man must submit to those laws in order to have peace. It is this reasoning faculty which is responsible for all the progress of man in historical time, in art, in science, in agriculture, industry, and government. Just as we use our reason to build a dam, to hold a river in check, we must now build institutions to restrain the fears and suspicions and greeds which move people and their rulers. Such institutions must be based on law and justice. They must have authority over atomic bombs and other weapons. And there must be the power to enforce this authority. To do this is difficult, yes. But we must remember that if the animal part of human nature is our foe, the thinking part is our friend. We do not have to wait a million years to use our ability to reason. It is not dependent on time. We are using it every day of our lives. We can and must use it now, or human society will disappear in a new and terrible dark age of mankind, perhaps forever.
Hi, this is Martha Mulligan, and I listen to WPFW radio station. I was born in 1943, and I think reparations for African Americans and all victims of war crimes, against humanity, is a very key issue of this century, because you cannot really have justice and make valid apologies when you don't at the same time try to make reparations. Thank you. Bye.
My first choice for a person of the century is Martin Luther King Jr. His call for zero unemployment and an end to war were sorely needed.
Yeah, this is Dave from the Bronx. I listen to WBAI. 39, was born in 1960. The most important figure in the 20th century is His Imperial Majesty Haile Selassie I. And the reason for this is he has presented, and he did present and ensure us, that without divinity, within government, and government cannot exist. He has shown us a viable and real alternative to democracy, otherwise known as demoncracy. I would direct that you read or listen to His Imperial Majesty's speech, which was adapted by Bob Marley in the music War, in particularly Until the Color of a Man's Skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes and his war.
Until the philosophy which owed one race superior and another inferior is finally and permanently discredited and abandoned, everywhere is war. It's a war that until there are no longer first class and second class citizens of any nation,
until the color of a man's skin is of no more significance than the color of his eyes. Mr. War, that until the basic human rights are equally guaranteed to all without regard to race. This a war, that until that day, the dream of lasting peace, world citizenship, rule of international morality, will remain but a fleeting illusion to be pursued, but never attained. Now everywhere is war. War.
You are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, a listener's century. We'll be back in a minute. You are listening to Pacifica Radio's Democracy Now!, the exception to the rulers. Today, your chance to talk back about the 20th century and beyond. This is a listener's century.
Hi, this is Donnie from Los Angeles, California. I was born in 27. I think the biggest issue is going to be the decriminalization of drugs. It probably does more damage to our society than anything else.
Hello, my name is Everardo Hernandez. I'm currently living in L.A. after living in San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley for something like 30 years. I'm going to be Vice City, L.A. and San Francisco, so I listen to KPFA, KPFK. One of the most important individuals in this century is Ernesto Che Guevara, and I say that because I think he had a great impact while he was alive, and also after his passing or assassination by the CIA. Even today, I'm an artist, and I'm constantly painting Che, and young people and older people by Che Guevara. Just about everybody knows who he is. I sell out at the Venice Boardwalk here in L.A., so I get exposure to a lot of people. But anyway, he was the new man. He was the medical doctor who had asthma, who fought in Cuba and in Africa and returned to Bolivia. He was definitely one of the main human beings of this century, and I think for that reason he should be viewed as one of the people who made a big change in the events, everything from the student movement in the 60s, late 60s after his death, to South Africa, to talking to somebody from Thailand who said that he was very well known in Thailand as well. So I would say Ernesto Che Guevara for lasting legacy.
De todos los problemas candentes que deben tratarse en esta asamblea, uno de los que para nosotros tiene particular significación.
Of all the burning problems to be dealt with by this assembly, one which has special significance for us and whose solution we feel must be sought first so as to leave no doubt in the minds of anyone, is that of peaceful coexistence among states with different economic and social systems. much progress has been made in the world in this field. But imperialism, particularly United States imperialism, has tried to make the world believe that peaceful coexistence is the exclusive right of the great powers on earth. We repeat what our president said in Cairo, and which later took shape in the declaration of the Second Conference of Heads of State or Government of Non-Aligned Countries, that there cannot be peaceful coexistence only among the powerful if we are to ensure world peace.
Hello, this is Sylvia Ziffman of the New Jersey Hiroshima Day Remembrance Committee. We consider the resistance to the bombing of Hiroshima Nagasaki on August 6, 1945 to be the most important event which set the stage for the opening gun of the Cold War, and the resistance to that Cold War, which has taken place to this very day with many proliferation of organizations and groups that are opposing nuclear energy and nuclear weaponry.
Sandra Drake, I live in Menlo Park, California, and I listen to KPFA Pacifica Berkeley. Here are my 10 major events: discovering the structure of DNA, the emergence of the animal rights movement, the genetic alteration of food crops, advances in space exploration, the disintegration of the Soviet Union, the end of European colonialism as established after 1492, the globalization of capitalism and the emergence of the people's movement contesting it at the Battle of Seattle, the development of the computer, the huge rate of species extinction, and the rooting of Buddhism in Western cultures.
My name is Rex Green. I'm a physician. I live in Altadena, California. I was in the KPFK. I was born in 1944. I think the two most important events of the century both occurred during World War II, the Holocaust and the introduction of nuclear weapons into warfare. I think they were emblematic of the failure of humankind over the last millennium to change its thinking about conflict resolution, the escalating violence to the theoretical limit of nuclear weapons, putting us on the brink of annihilation of the planet, and the Holocaust demonstrating the hideous amorality of the bureaucratic state. As far as noteworthy individuals of the 20th century, I'd have to put Gandhi and Martin Luther King at the top because of their commitment to nonviolence.
The multiplication of atom bombs means utter destruction, not merely of the West, but it will be in a destruction of the world, as if the prophecy of the Bible is going to be fulfilled and there is to be a perfect deluge. Heaven forbid that there will be that deluge. And through man's wrong against himself, it is up to you.
But I think it is a spiritual movement in the sense that the participants, by and large, have faith in the future. And the participants somehow feel that in the struggle for that which is right, in the struggle for justice, that is cosmic companionship.
Hi, Amy. This is Doris Kitson. The most important event, and it's a negative importance, was the development and the explosion of a nuclear bomb, which ushered in a completely different age. It affected the way people were raised in this country. We were raised in fear. We used to have to duck under our desks in grammar school. When I became a teenager and into early adulthood, there was a whole attitude in the society, you know, live for today because we don't know if there's a tomorrow. Of course, it also energized a lot of movements. It has caused an epidemic of cancer, the byproducts of the development of nuclear weapons in the nuclear age, power plants, and so on.
This is Paul Anderson. I just feel that the most important issue today is the war on drugs and the need to end it. That's all for now. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, this is Stephen White. Live in Fresno, California area. Listen to KFCF, rebroadcast KPFA. And I was born in 1953. I think that the environmental degradation is the crucial issue for us, and that if we don't resolve our direction or our problems, that the other issues won't matter.
This is Reva Olson. I live in Orange County. I'm 76 years old. I was born March 11th, 1923. And I just want to put Ralph Nader in there because I think that what we would have seen if we hadn't had Ralph Nader would have not been a very positive thing for this country. I remember his fighting the automobile industry and all the way to the WTO.
Children today have been delivered to the entertainment and addictive industries. KinderCare is raising the kids, McDonald's is feeding them, HBO, Time Warner is entertaining them. Millions of pre-teenagers are going to be watching 30 hours a week these programs. And these programs are conveying three basic values. Violence is a solution to life's problems, addiction, and low-grade sensuality. And they're not conveying values of community, civic values, historical knowledge. Why, most of them don't even convey anything but animated creatures.
Yes, my name is Charles Curry. I'm listening to WRPI in the Albany area. As for this century, I'd like to suggest everybody from Eugene Debs to, I don't know who I'd say recently, David McReynolds. Anybody who has dissented from the official wisdom of this century.
Hi, good morning. My name is Benji Lich. I believe the most important event was the creation of WBAI.
Hi, my name is Gail Blasey. I live in Northern California in winters, and I listen to KPFA. And in thinking about your question, I realize that the things that I think are most important are things that have built community. Transportation, like the railroads, the airplanes, cars, also the Grateful Dead for me, Alcoholics Anonymous, and last but not least, KPFA. Keep it on. Bye.
My name is Francoise Hall, H-A-L-L, and I listen to KGNU in Boulder, Colorado, and I was born in 1932. A certain fragility of the corporations has manifested itself at the end of the 20th century, particularly at the Battle of Seattle, where we saw the corporate world out of touch and scared and having to change their direction under the pressure of protest. Our 2 million U.S. citizens in jail also shows that the corporate world is perhaps scared. My third issue is movement, which I think has happened in the 20th century, movement towards the integration of mind and body. I think if we realize that we are part of nature, our mind and our bodies are part of nature, and if we destroy the ecology on which we rely, we will destroy ourselves.
Hi, this is Brenda Augustine calling, and I'd like to put on your list rather Fidel. As a Latin American, he certainly lived up to every expectation for the struggle that we continue to have.
Hi, my name is Dana Kermitz. I'm calling from Santa Cruz, California. I was born in 1952 in Los Angeles, California. I listen to KPFA in Berkeley, and I want Pete Seeger, Joan Baez, and Woody Guthrie to be talked about.
I ain't got no home, I'm just a roaming round. Just a wandering worker, I go from town to town. And the police make it hard wherever I may go. And I ain't got no home in this world anymore.
Hi, my name is George Duncan. I'm from Columbia, Maryland. I listen to WPFW. I was born in 1958, and the people and movements that I think had the most contribution to the 20th century are first, Henry Ford and his invention of assembly line, mass production, which had a shifting of people from the rural areas to the cities and the creation of middle class. The labor movement that came after that with people like A. Philip Randolph.
In my life, I've tried to abide by the principles of democracy, nonviolence, and integration. But there are some today, particularly among our black youth, who would question the validity of these principles in our ongoing struggle. I urge them to reconsider their position and to engage with me in a reaffirmation of these fundamental principles. We must reject confrontationism and together reaffirm the necessity for democratic means of political protest. We must reject violence and together reaffirm the power and the wisdom of nonviolence.
Walter P. Reuther. Also, the World War II and the end of U.S. isolationism, and then also the ending of World War II, which was the dropping of the atomic bomb and the beginning of the Cold War. I think the introduction of television had a great impact on the 20th century, and movements like the Civil Rights Movement and the Vietnam War, which were covered by television, were able to see great change due by television's mass appeal to people around the world.
Hi, Amy. This is Henry Hicks calling for myself and Carol. The 20th century, great scientific and technological advance, horrible, endless pursuit of unheard of wealth and power, the triumph and tragedy of world socialism, the beginning global coalitions, unifications of the common people, including all indigenous people, to end exploitation and bring social justice for all. Mother Earth rebels, the temperatures rise, and increasing epidemics and the slow rise of new avenues to maintain health. So brief, right? Happy New Year and blessings to you. Bye-bye.
A Listener's Century, produced with Jeremy Scahill and Errol Maitland. That does it for today's program. If you'd like to order a cassette copy, 1-800-735-0230. That's 1-800-735-0230. Democracy Now! Is produced by David Love and Maria Carrion, with help from Karen Palmer. Errol Maitland is our technical director. From the studios of WBAI in New York, I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for listening.
The kind of September when life was slow and oh so mellow. Try to remember the kind of September when grass was green and grain was yellow. Try.